perspiration, but it's not happening. So bear with me. Dan Porth from Erie, Pennsylvania, and I got our crowd here. They're kind of a great encouragement to me. So, and there's Donnie. Oh, he came in from Pittsburgh, and he said he wanted to be here, and we're glad to have him with us. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4, which is I'm going to take my passage this morning and go through verses 1 through 9. And our admonishment yesterday from Chad Combs. Is Chad in here this morning? Anyway, Chad talked about our need for to be spiritually minded and how do we need to have this focus and stuff and purpose in our life. And I know for most of us here, I had a purpose in my life to be around God's saints in this weekend. Amen. And so here we are, I'm fulfilling my purpose. And anyway, it's great to be together with you in the Lord. And our saints from Erie, we've been coming, not since the first year, but quite often thereafter. So this is the 10th year, and we've probably been here 9 of them, or 8 of them. I know one year I was at a wedding. My daughter got married, so I wasn't here for that. All right, if you're in the Bible in Philippians 4, I'd like to read along and then begin to look at what I picked out of here is 3 particular obstacles that kind of, I know 3 obstacles that get in my way, and I'm just like you. I'm infirm just like you. So let's take a look at this together. Paul starts off saying, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received, and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Let's have prayer. Father, your word is most precious. Your word is instructive. Your word is life. And we pray that this life-giving word would just renew our life in you and its wonderful truth. And may things that are shared that are stumbling blocks, obstacles to rejoicing in the Lord always, I pray you'll help clean those up for us today. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, as I'm looking at this passage of Scripture and got to thinking about the conference theme about finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. I said, wow, what a great topic. And I liked it, Ed, that you gave us an opening to say, well, go where you want to go. So anyway, I didn't get there fast enough. Somebody got Philippians 10, 11, 12 about being content. So you'll get that filled up later. But I said, well, if it's all right with the brethren, I'll do the first 9 verses. So here I am. And of course, that'll help me to bring my message length down, okay? So anyway, Paul opens up helping them to realize what a precious relationship he has developed with them. And you know, it is true. If there's anything that brings you close together, is sharing in the gospel ministry together. Is there anything that brings someone closer? Well, marriage, all right. That makes me close. But in marriage, we serve the Lord together. So, but that brings you close together. And this is where Paul starts off this chapter introducing this connection he has with these saints at Philippi. And he just recognizes and says to them, "You're my joy." And stop to think about the saints and the fellowship we have with one another. Are we each other's joy? I know for us at the Bible Ambassadors in Erie, we can't wait to get there on Thursdays for Bible study and Sundays for our time. Because what's it do? It gives us purpose. It gets us out of the world. It gets us focused. It does the things that Chad was just admonishing us at how important that is. And so it's a great thing that we have coming together. And he's reminding them to so stand fast in the Lord. And you know, that's so important. Because there are, goodness knows, you could sit here and talk about the different things that would get in the way from our wanting to stand fast. There's always someone trying to pull you away. There's always issues in life that want to pull you away. And for me, I'm starting to get older. It's no fun getting older. And it's been brought up to me time and again. We got some saints in our fellowship. Bill Walker is one of them. He's one of the saints that typically sits up here, but for various reasons, he's in the back. They have a hard time hearing. Is that true? Why you folks are up so close? No, you just want to be by the action. I know. What's Richard say? This is spit row, but this is pushed back a little bit, so you're not quite in spit row. But anyway, we want to talk loud enough. So, and I know Rita's always my. I told her, I said, "Give me one of these when I'm starting." And you know how it is with us preachers. Sometimes we start talking, and as we're making a point, our points sometimes get what? We bring them low. And you're missing my point by telling me speak up. So anyway, you understand all that. So it's no fun getting old. But, you know, I'm thinking about there'd be a great message, say, grace in aging. Aging in grace. Aging in grace. Wouldn't that be a great subject? Oh, well. I'm trying to look at all the whiteheads out there, and there's quite a few of them. That's why I say that would be a good topic, right? All right, so he calls him my dearly beloved. In verse 2, here's my first obstacle. Because we have this ministry and because we grow close in this ministry, you know what Satan likes to do? He likes to cause ruffled feathers, right? So what's he say here? He comes right out and says it. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche, what? That they get on the same page? That they get along? No, no, no. He wants to take them to what? Their common denominator. Have that same mind. And guess what do we have in Christ together? We have that mind of Christ. Get back, get reconnected into that category. You know, I heard it, I heard a couple things that are kind of humorous. One of which says, if you find the perfect church, please don't join it. You're going to ruin it. So you know who you are, but of course there's no perfect church, right? Amen. As a matter of fact, Paul tells us we have the ability to be perfect in Christ. And I always looked at that before I understood right division, understood what it means to be complete, and knows what it means to grow up into perfection. And I know that now I stand perfect in Christ. Amen. Amen. Am I being boastful? No. I'm speaking truth. I'm hoping that you're there as well. But it takes a while. So, think about this. Two things come to my mind when I come to this passage. And I shared this with the ladies at the church. I practiced my message on them last Sunday. So they're going to hear a review. But of course, I told them, I said, don't be worried. It's going to be altogether different. So you preachers know that. Whenever you put a passage together and it comes across, you preach it differently. So anyway, I said to the saints, I said, let's pretend that you two saints, Epaphroditus, you're living back in this time. And Epaphroditus is coming back with this letter. And can you imagine how you would feel when Paul points you out in this letter? Wow. I mean, wow. And so what's the difference? If I'm stepping on some toes, I don't mean to be. But if what's the difference if Paul's not writing this letter to you and to your assembly, and maybe some individuals in your assembly that somehow just don't see eye to eye? And someone kind of humorously, and I love humor, someone said humorously how we are in our imperfections and our infirmities, said these ladies ought to be called odious and soon touchy. Anyway, I remember a passage a good friend of mine preached called, title of the passage was, "How Do You Smell?" And when I thought about odious, and I laughed at that, I thought of that passage right away. How do you smell? Are you a sweet savor unto the Lord? Or, you know, whatever. So he's speaking to these two ladies, and we don't know, doesn't tell us what the issues are. Isn't that neat? Leaves it open-ended. Doesn't go to the... But I can tell you two things, at least from scriptures, that was not happening with these two ladies. But let me preface this by saying about these two ladies, he's just been building up this whole body as being such a great fellowship and help ministering to him and his ministry. They've been in the fellowship of the gospel. He shared all kinds of commendable information. And you know what these two ladies did with Paul when he was serving? They served the Lord with Paul. They were right there sweating and laboring and being persecuted. Well, not like Paul was, no doubt, but certainly being involved. And I know my wife, for whatever reason, has befriended a lady back, how many years now have you known Elsie? Quite a while now. 20 plus years. Anyway, somehow Elsie kind of, Mary brought her alongside to a women's ministry. And she wanted to join in. And she was a great help because she's much older. She's like in the mid-80s, a little beyond. 20 years ago, she's what, mid-60s? But anyway, older. They related to her. And these women, they were substance abusers. They were trying to come out, trying to get free, and they were trying to share the scriptures with them. And what a door of opportunity they have to have that open door to come into this ministry and do that. But what I'm getting around to saying, they had a ministry together. And all of a sudden now Mary is her closest ally. She's got a family that worships her. She just lost her husband. So 60, 65 years. I don't think they reached 66. But anyway, you get the point. They've been together for that long. Four kids, wonderful family, very close. But yet when it comes to Mary, she says, "Mary, I can talk to you. I can share my fears. I can share my concerns." So anyway, when you're in the bond of fellowship and in fellowship of the gospel, you get close. And so your lives interact. And so whatever happened with Iodius and Syntyche, something got in the way. And so Paul tells them he knows where to go. He knows where we all ought to go. Be of the same mind in the Lord. You notice he doesn't say be of the same mind for the Lord. It's this life we have in Christ. No, there's a lot of things we like to do for the Lord, and we all can be on the same page for that, right, Ted? But be the same mind in the Lord. Now, that's a challenge. But hey, is it hard to get to the same mind in the Lord? It's not. It's this, what do we talk about in Romans? In Romans 6, in our fellowship, I was pounding these four principles from Romans 6. One is you got to know some stuff. If you don't know that you're dead in Christ, you're baptized in Christ, and you're raised again in Christ, you're one in Christ, if you don't know those things, how can you serve Him and walk with Him well, or do it as he would have. You don't. Number two, you need to reckon something. Reckon what? You're dead in Christ, but what? Alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, I spent the longest time recognizing that I was to be dead in Christ, dead to sin. And I guess in the Christian Missionary Alliance, boy, they pound that in you. Sanctification. Get that sin life under control. Walk in the Spirit. And they say all the good Pauline truth. But what are they trying to do? They're trying to get me in my flesh to try to deal with that sin issue. That's exactly what they're trying to tell me. And guess what? In grace. Wow. Ted, as a matter of fact, first grace conference I went to was there in Tracy's down in St. Francis College. And it was a closer look at the cross. Now, just coming into this message, going full tilt. First time I went to a grace conference, and Rito, you were there. And I thought to myself, well, closer look at the cross. What more can I not see at the cross? What am I missing? And there was one message about sanctification that he's preached that day that opened the door and helped me to see that this life, you don't work it. It's already been done for you. Amen. It's just recognizing by faith, by grace, through faith, to let him live through you. Wow, what an eye-opener. But guess what? I've been preaching for 15 years. I say that shamefully because I wasn't preaching the full understanding. I was a Galatianized believer. All right, so here's these two. What do I know about these two that we need to come into this context about issues that might get in the way of our joy if we have issues with our fellow laborers or fellow believers? One is that it wasn't a doctrinal issue. Turn with me, if you would, back to 3, Philippians 3, and keep your finger there and go back to Romans 16:17. And let me just say, with these verses that we're turning to, Romans 16:17 first, Paul writes there for us in Romans 16, verse 17, he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." Is he saying anything about these two ladies regarding that? Not at all. Philippians 3, verses 15 through 17, he says, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect," here we are, saints, hopefully that we're getting to this place of perfection in our understanding of who we are in Christ, "be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." That's a healthy verse. And the reason I say that is, do you know it all? You don't. Hey, Ted, you don't know it all. But we're ever learning, though, aren't we? There's always stuff growing. So, and Paul's helping to remind those Philippians, he says, you know, we need to be thus minded. But if we're not on the same page in terms of this sound doctrine in Christ that we have, guess what? God will bring it along. You'll bring it up to speed. But anyway, he's talking about, "Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example." The reason I bring those two subjects up is for the simple reason that I don't think the issue, obviously, wasn't a doctrinal one. It wasn't a doctrinal one. And I don't think it was a moral one. Remember that terrible moral sin in 1 Corinthians 5, that carnal church, and some guy was having relations with his father's wife, and it's too gross to even talk about. Anyway, it wasn't that, okay? Because that was to be dealt with, okay? But what was the issues?
They know it.
What is the bottom line for all our issues? I. She heard me. Hear the word me? She rubs me the wrong way. I was overlooked. She got some praise and I was right by her serving all the way. I didn't hear anything. Yeah, that's our human nature, what? Likes to be noticed. And somebody, maybe these two ladies, and in their serving the Lord, in their whatever way they were doing it, something came up, some mishap, something got in the way. And it was enough that Paul knew about it. So he's writing in this letter and beseeching them what? Get back to your common denominator. We serve the Lord. We have His mind. Get back to that common denominator. Now let me ask you, is that hard? It can be. If you let it. If Christ, Chad brought up again this whole idea about forgiveness. If you were here last night, he opened up the conference. By the way, Ted, when you talked about the long and short of it, it took me a minute before I laughed. I didn't catch it right away. If you weren't here yesterday, Chad's real tall. Real tall. And then Ted followed up with the second speaker, and he's short. All right. We always seem to pick on you. It never fails the conference that we don't pick on your stature. Shame on us. All right. I'll tell you one thing. He's got a stature in Christ that's phenomenal.
Amen.
Amen. I'd much rather have that than, oh, I look good. I'm tall. Yeah. Okay. Where do I want to go here? So he encourages them that they be of the same mind in the Lord. In this book of Philippians, look at three places that he brings this up quite specifically. In the book of Philippians, notice verse 27. Chapter 1, verse 27. Excuse me. Thank you. It's nice that the saints can help me get back on the right path with what I'm conveying here. 1:27 of Philippians, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Turn over to chapter 2, beginning of chapter 2. This one's good. Okay, get ready. Starting verse 1, chapter 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Now, do you think Paul was very much adamant about how important it is and how he sees it as his joy when he sees what the saints, being in one mind. And he says, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing, how much? Nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Now, do you think the Holy Spirit has already had in his mind 4:2? Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was what? In Christ Jesus. So, how are we doing there? Humility of spirit. Remember Chad talking about that? Seems I bring Chad up a lot. But he introduced this subject quite well yesterday. So this humility of spirit and esteeming one another is better than ourselves. And you know our problem with the joy and the getting along in relationships, what gets in the way is we have a lot on our plate. I can look around the room, I know some saints, and I know a little bit about you, and I know what's on your plate. And so it's like Chad saying, they got all this other earthly things, i.e. carnal things, that occupy our lives. Still working, Ted? So am I. I'll probably work till I drop. But point is, does that occupy your time and mind at times? Sure it does. And you know, I used to have the hard time with that, because I kept thinking, well, to the degree that I'm expending all this energy and time and thinking about my little sphere of how to get along, how to pay the bills, how to secure a future, blah, 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 I'm not a good soldier for Christ. Because what am I doing? I'm thinking too much of these earthly things. But we're here. Come to grips with it. And when you have time, purpose in your heart to come to a conference. Come and get your batteries recharged. Is there anything wrong with that?
No, sir.
Man, I look forward to this. We start talking about this in January, the dregs of winter. Oh, hey, Memorial Day's coming. Hang in there. We're going to go. We'll see the saints. So I get around to saying this important area, this mindset, and looking at how Paul has already introduced this subject matter. And of course, the last thing I've already read for you, this passage in 3:15, have this be thus minded. Have the same mind in Christ and get there. So, one obstacle, the first obstacle that I see in this passage to our joy is sometimes there can be that relationship issue in the fellowship of the mystery, some little issues. And oftentimes they're nothing more than irritations, personality. I know my personality doesn't get along with some people. At least I can admit it. But to the degree that we can learn to get together, where do we get together? In Christ. We're in Him. All right. Second thing about this emotional issue back in Philippians 4, Paul's sharing, and of course, as you're making our way through here, here's this wonderful voice, rejoice in the Lord. How often?
Always.
Now, do you have the S in your Bible? I see some that are really nitpickers. You know, they want to have that perfect Bible. But some of the newer Bibles come out, and I don't know about newer Bibles. I'm not that mindful of it. But my Bible doesn't have the S. My wife's, I looked at hers the other day, and her S is scratched out. She has an S in hers. The S in hers is not right. Always is this understanding that we are to be rejoicing in the Lord all the way through. All the way through, whatever it is in our day, whatever it is that comes across our path, whatever it is, what? You're in Christ and we rejoice in the Lord. And we could have just taken that subject, why rejoice in the Lord? I mean, we could spend all kinds of things talking about that. And I thought somebody was going to bring that topic up and probably answer that. But the whole idea is that Paul tells us, and he repeats it. Now, you think that's for added emphasis? We're slow of learning? It's emphasis. It's emphasis. I'm trying to tell you, this is important, brothers, sisters. Rejoice in the Lord. So then he moves on and says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now, I used to look at that passage, this next verse, and the Lord is at hand. I used to always kept thinking about this, the imminent return, the rapture, our hope. But that's not what it is. Where is the Lord right now? He's at hand. He's right here. He resides within us. Now, do you feel that? I don't feel it. Even as I'm speaking about it right now, it's very encouraging in my mind to know that. But He is. The Lord is at hand. He's right here. And the next verse is my second obstacle, is our emotional obstacles. Be careful for how much? Nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. I just as I'm reading it, I'm always thinking to myself, does God need to know your request? He says, make it known unto God. He wants you to get a hold of your feelings and let them be known to God. Us men are the hardest to get in touch with feelings because we're macho. We got it all together, right, Ted? When guess what you do have because you're a man? I'm picking on men. Is that okay, ladies? Pick on the men?
Go for it.
Go for it, my daughter. Go for it. Preach it. All right. If you've ever had to go through counseling, which I did, my father, before he died, he came to visit with us, and we were in Ashland, Ohio at the time, going to seminary, and having some issues in our marriage and what have you, and of course, got the greatest wife the Lord could possibly give me, and me and my dad said, what are you going to counseling for? You got the greatest wife ever. You got the greatest wife ever. What are you going counseling for, my dad said. I said, oh, Dad, there's a lot. And I didn't say, Dad, probably because of you. Now, I'm not trying to pass the blame. Please don't. I'm not blaming my father. But he set the pattern. My dad was oblivious to my mother's needs. Oblivious. Or if he wasn't oblivious, he just didn't care. He'd come home from work, and he'd get out his 16 ounces beer. He must have had six a night. He was an alcoholic. How did he deal with his problems?
He didn't,
but he drowned in his alcohol. Now, he was never a drunk. I'd never seen him drunk. I don't know why. Did I preach this when I didn't talk about this? So that's why I say every time I do a message, it's altogether different. Point I'm bringing up is when we went to counseling, I began to realize how I never got in touch, and I was relating to my wife the same way what? My dad related to his wife. And that was bad. Real bad. And of course, I'm not going to talk about your PMS and other issues. But you hear that one? You're not done with counseling yet, are you? That is good. That's priceless. Remember, write that one down. Why did I bring all that up? Okay. Be careful for nothing. Careful is emotions. You see this on the board here? I had my daughter come. I tried to find you, Jim. I walked to the breakfast area, didn't see you up and moving because I was going to use you, but Sarah was able to come. And you see here, the spirit, soul, and body. And I give all the credit to Richard's teaching, Inside Out. I see there's a DVD track. Is it CD or DVD?
Both.
Both? On the table out there, Inside Out. Get it. Get it. Because there's anything that has helped me connect the dots. By the way, do you have all your dots connected where everything's functioning just perfectly? You should see your faces, some of you guys. I'm serious. Some people, I might be treading on some toes there. That's all right. The Holy Spirit, He'll help you have the same mind, right? Okay. But He brought this Inside Out understanding about our spirit, soul, and body. And I'll tell you what's been helpful is how the Spirit of God, the Word of God, the life of Christ dwells where? In us, in our soul. And what brings in the information to help fill our soul, to fill us with the life of Christ, it's through our mind. I know a lot. You know a lot. What I didn't connect the dots with is how these things get in the way. This is the connecting piece, our body, our sight, our ears, our eyes, things we do. We live in this body, right? This flesh. And connecting all that I know. And that's why Paul in chapter 7 of Romans, I know what I should be doing, but what he's finding out, he's, but what's going on? And so he's connecting the dots by you get to chapter 8 of Romans, that just walk in the Spirit. And I say it to the fellowship just like that. Just walk in the Spirit. Now, is that hard? Evidently. Evidently. Be led by the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Be what? Filled with the Spirit. Over and over and over, that's what Paul's talking about. It has nothing to do with you changing your life.
Amen.
It has nothing to do with you turning over a new leaf. It has nothing to do with cleaning up your life. It's what? Helping that flow of Christ in us into the soul and with the heart. I was taking you through Romans. What did I get through? That's what it was. Know things. Reckon some things. Yield our members. And what was the fourth thing, Jim? Obey from the heart that form of doctrine that you have that's been delivered. Now, how good are you at obeying from the heart? I don't feel like it. My wife, every once in a while, she looks right at her yard and sees it needs its spring cleanup. And she always has a bush or two to put in. Always. Something to. And it's always got to be me, because I got the muscle. And guess what me wants to do? I don't want to be bothered with that. My daughter's laughing because she knows what I'm talking about. My wife's rolling her eyes because she knows what I'm talking about. Anyway, this wasn't too long ago. She wanted to get out there and get this bush in and blah, blah, blah. And guess what? I did my duty. But I didn't do it with joy in my heart. As a matter of fact, I probably very clearly showed my wife I didn't do it with joy in my heart. Point I'm getting at, I didn't feel like doing it. So was I obeying from the heart? And guess what? When I was doing all this, did I know better? Yeah, that's right. I knew better. But guess what I chose? I chose not to obey. And guess what grace does? I'm free to do that. I don't like doing that. I shouldn't do that. Did I please the Lord by doing that? I certainly didn't please her, I can tell you that. That's just an example, okay? So, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. God doesn't need to know what you're feeling and dealing with. He already knows. He wants us to get a hold of what's causing those cares. Give them to him in prayer with supplication. You know, someone defines supplication, I read somewhere, he defines supplication as intercession. It's not an intercession. Interceding is in prayer for somebody else. Supplication is sharing what's going on with you. These are my issues, Lord. These are things I'm dealing with. I'm bringing to you. And you notice that little phrase with what? Thanksgiving. I don't know how God's going to help enter into this soul here that I'm having trouble, that these cares are flowing in, but he knows they're flowing in. I'm not sure, but I'm going to thank him already. For how, and guess what? When I'm doing this prayer and going through this exercise, he's already doing it. Go to Romans 8. I'll tell you why I know that. Because Romans 8 tells me he's doing it. Romans 8, 26. Paul shares here, he says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. By the way, what are infirmities anyway? It's just weakness. I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians 12 as soon as I get done with this point. And Paul says he's going to glory in his infirmities. So guess what I know what's common with all of us? You have some infirmities. I have some infirmities. I hope it's only some. I probably have a lot. By the way, counseling, guess what the counseling helped me to see?
You had some infirmities.
That's right. You had some bad stinking thinking. Now, I'm a believer. I'm going to a believer that's supposed to be helping me, counseling me, and, you know, that's stinking thinking. So anyway, he helped me get in touch with my infirmities. And guess what he uncovered with some things, and I never knew. I wouldn't have seen it in 1,000 years. I'm thinking of asking you to guess. And I don't want to do that. Because you guys are looking at me. You don't know me. And you might throw out some stuff at me that really might hurt me. I don't want to get hurt. A deep-seated thing with me was anger. Anger. What? Me? I'm easygoing. I get along. I go along to get along. You know, anger? Wow. And guess what? Once that became known, I began to realize, man, I really am angry. And guess what you do with anger? You bury it. You don't talk about it. It gets buried. Excuse me. So, why did I bring that up? Get back to Romans 8. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to what? The will of God. So what do I know when I'm doing... I don't know if you're like me, but there have been periods of time where I can't sleep at night. And I have concerns, cares. And guess what I began to quote in my mind? Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And guess what? It got better. And it's getting better. And I don't sleep very good at night, but it ain't because of cares and anxieties. It's just because I'm getting old. So, I know that when we take on this exercise, what is the Spirit of God doing? Who is our life? What's he bringing into the picture as I'm battling from this end, trying to get this soul? Remember what Chad said? The greatest thing we all want is peace. So when you're filled with anxiety, what aren't you having? You don't have any peace. So an obstacle that gets in the way of our joy very often comes up in this grossly misunderstood battle where our emotions, this life that we live in this body, gets filtered in, and the things we've learned and the habits and the patterns we develop in this wrong thinking and the wrong reacting has caused us to have these problems, and our soul, we're in this battleground. By the way, at church, once we went through Inside Out, we've got this right up on our board all the time. How often do I refer to that when we're preaching? Almost every time. All the time. And it connects the dots. I know my daughter, sometimes when I'd be preaching and teaching, says, you know, Dad, we learned a lot. How does it work? I want to know how to get it to work. We got the dots now. And she would tell you, yeah, Thanks, Dad. Got the dots. Thanks, Richard. We got the dots. Now when things getting out of whack, we have the tools to get back in stride. The only place that needs to be dealt with is, do you want to get back in step? Or do you want to stay where you're at? Okay, boy, I had a lot of thinking. Now where I want you to go is the 2 Corinthians 12, because I brought up this idea of infirmities. 2 Corinthians 12, remember Paul and his thorn in the flesh? We all know that passage. We've been there. And how Paul, three times, he had such glorious visions. The Lord, probably at a time when he was stoned to death, had this out-of-body experience and experienced all kinds of heavenly things that he wasn't allowed to share. But rather than him and his inner man getting puffed up, what did Paul pray to God to do? To remove this thorn in his flesh. Thorn where? Where is it? It's this place we live. It's in the way. And of course he calls it the messenger of Satan to buffet him. Verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, he's saying unto all of us. He's saying this unto all of us. My grace is what? It's sufficient. Now, have you come into a situation which you're so overwhelmed in, or which you've run into such an issue? Whether it's bad, boy, I'm at 2 minutes? Holy cow, wow, sorry about that. Oh, boy. I'm not used to preaching so long. Okay. I lost my train of thought. What?
Grace is sufficient.
I don't even know where I was going with that. But the point I'm getting at is, Paul says, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my what? Infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Have you stepped out or done something in serving the Lord that just was hard for you to do? I could tell you the first time I preached, I was scared to death. Scared to death. Fumbled my way through, and it was just a little Bible study. It was a Bible study at the church. Nervous as all get out. And I'm thinking back now, why was I so nervous? Because I was thinking about me. Are they going to like me? Am I going to teach something that's going to help them? I think, me. It took time, but God began to realize, it's not about you, Dan. It's about me. It's about my book. Boy, that's liberating. All right, quickly. Last obstacle, and it'll be preached about quite a bit, I know. Last obstacle is our mental. Philippians, I got to get back to my passage. 4:8. Finally, brethren, I'm not going to, for sake of time, read the verse. Think on these things. It's a mental battle. For our warfare is what? 2 Corinthians 10, our warfare is not carnal. It's not in this realm. It is in this realm. It's spiritual. And we're to do what? Casting down imaginations. We'll turn here. We'll close there. Turn to 2 Corinthians 10, 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity, how many thoughts? Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now that's work. Does it turn off by itself? Okay, it's resetting. I'm done, right? All right. That's our challenge, the mental game. And I'll tell you, I grew up in a home that was just wall-to-wall negative. Finding fault. How does a person that learns to deal with life that way unlearn it?
Amen.
Good luck. You know how to unlearn it. It's to renew your mind. Let's close in prayer. Father, it's been a joy to share your word this morning. I hope it's been helpful. I know going through this exercise for me alone has been rewarding and very. And Father, to rejoice in the Lord always. Father, thank you for such a challenging expression to bring to bear in our lives. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.